Good morning and welcome back to Wealth Health Radio, where you get honest, easy-to-use information on how to maintain and improve the economic health of your family. The purpose of this show is to give you answers to your questions as well as tools and techniques so that you can build a more secure future for your family. My name is John Berger. I'm a wealth coach and certified financial planner. While I am the host of this show each and every Saturday morning, you are the star. It is your questions that are going to spur the conversations we have here each week. Our listeners relate to the issues that you bring to us much more so than they are going to relate to the issues that I'll bring to the radio because I feel like it and it's something that I want to talk about. So be a part of the conversation. If you want to be a part of the show, all you have to do is take a little bit of action, pick up the phone and dial either of these numbers. They both work great, 805-543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. And yes, this is a live radio program. We are here for you to answer your calls right now. This is nothing canned, brought to you some other time. It is here and it's live and it is local, and we are ready to answer your calls and answer your questions should you have them. 805-543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Well, we now have a new U.S. president. Barack Obama was sworn in on Tuesday as the 44th person to lead our country. The stock market pulled off its worst Inauguration Day performance in 137 years on Tuesday. Is this a sign of things to come? What do we expect to happen this year? I'm going to spend some time on this issue today. Also, we have put a lot of effort into some great workshops and programs that are going to provide you access to a trusted financial advisor, a certified financial planner professional, and wealth coach, that would be me, for far less money out of pocket than has been possible to people in the past. So we're going to talk about those as well today. Remember, people who work with a financial professional to create a written financial plan are far more likely to sleep well at night and know that they are on track to enjoy a secure future with their family. The challenge has always been out-of-pocket costs, with financial planning fees averaging around $2,500 a year. We have ways that we have used to cut those basic costs by as much as 75%, or maybe even more than that. So we're going to talk about those as well today. So, Obamanomics. What does it mean for you financially? How will the security of your family's future be affected by our 44th president? His policies and the reactions of his advisors to the current economic mess that we find ourselves. If there was ever a turning point in American history, this has the potential to be that point. More so than any time in the past 40 years and possibly any time in the last 80 years. And let me start with a statement. I'm not going to be making any predictions like where the S&P 500 is going to be 12 months from now. I have lots of suspicions about what is likely to occur over the next year, and we're going to discuss those today. But I have always refused the temptation to make bold predictions in the past. I know a lot of the pundits on TV will do this. They'll get up there and they'll say, well, the S&P is going to go up and it's going to be at such and such a number by such and such a date and so on and so forth. And frankly, I think that that's a zero-sum game, if not a losing game. You can't predict the economy any better than you can predict the weather. And we all know how good the weather prognosticators are at their job. And they are quote-unquote professionals. If I had made a prediction in early 2008 of all the crazy things that have happened in this last year, you probably would have put me into a white jacket with really long sleeves, tossed me into a padded room, locked the door, and quite possibly thrown away the key. Nobody around would have anticipated what has happened this past year, and certainly not with the speed and severity of what we've been seeing. I still refuse to do bold predictions. That said, there are some variables I believe we should all pay attention to, because what happens in the next 100 days will have quite an impact on your wealth health for years, if not decades, to come. The question at hand is, how is Obamanomics going to affect your wealth health and the wealth health of your family? Will we see a sizable change in the economy from what we experienced with President Bush? Does this change the threats and opportunities we're going to be facing in the future? What is the best way to position yourself to take advantage of those opportunities and minimize the risks going forward? And I think the best way to approach this question is the same way we approach financial planning. Financial planning has three basic elements. Any strategic planning has three basic elements. Number one, figure out where you are. Number two, figure out where you want to go, where you want to be, your goals and objectives. And number three is to formulate some kind of a strategy, understanding what threats and opportunities are coming your way to get as close to that as possible. So, it is helpful in any situation to take a snapshot of where you are before undertaking the task of trying to get where you're going. So let's look at where we are in 2008. It was the worst year on Wall Street since the Great Depression. Things weren't much better on Main Street as unemployment has skyrocketed, real estate values plummeted, and access to money across almost completely dried up at one point. So quite clearly, things are not great, and there is good probability, at least in my mind, that they're not going to get any better in the near term. There's just too much bad news that has not yet come out. Okay, so the first part of the planning, strategic planning process is to figure out where you are. And quite simply, we are not in good shape. I do not believe we have been completely honest even with how bad the shape we are in exists today. There is not the complete clarity that we would like to see, that I would like to see, and a number of economists would like to see. In essence, a lot of us are still in denial. Hey, you know, remember the good old days of 2005, 06, early 07, when everything was just peachy and everything was going up and you could get money, it was free and easy, and all you had to do was just go down and sign your name, you could say whatever you wanted to say as far as what your income was, and you'd have the money. Well, of course, those times are gone. And the question is, where are we now? This whole thing is even boiled down into the banking industry. You know, the quickest fix for our banking problems would be this. That would be for the government or someone else to move in, and it would have to be the government, come in, wipe out all of the banks, all of the big banks that still have toxic waste on their asset books, wipe out those banks, get rid of that toxic waste, and then recapitalize those banks to new owners, borrowers, lenders, recapitalize those banks to the private sector without the garbage that's in there. They would immediately start loaning money. That would clean up the issue, and we could probably get rid of those toxic assets at about 25 cents on the dollar because someone will pick them up, understanding that, yes, there is a pretty high default rate on some of it, but there is some still good money. And if you give them an elusive enough potential for opportunity to gain something out of it, they'll buy it at that cheaper rate. We could have done all that for a fraction of what we've already thrown at the problem, and we would be on our way to mending the problem. But instead, what we say is, no, we have to keep the banks intact as they are. We have to keep paying for $1.5 million offices for people like Mr. Thane from Merrill Lynch, who was just ousted this week. We have to do all of these things because we can't let the banks fail, because if they fail, what happens? And the truth is, they won't fail. You're just going to go in, you're going to get rid of the junk, you're going to get rid of all the people who don't know what they're doing, you're going to get rid of all the people who have been fleecing the stockholders. Yes, you do have to wipe out the stockholders and the bondholders, but you do this, it's done once, and we're on our way to repairing the issue. Well, there's too much denial for that to happen. Politically, it's impossible for it to happen, so it won't. But my point in all of this is that we have not been really honest, and the government has not been really honest with you and I or anybody else about what is really going on and how deep the problem is. Instead, we have chosen to hope that things can be fixed and made better. And that is not the best place in my mind for us to be. It's a precarious position.